It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Good morning. It's Monday, April 18th, and you're listening to the College Football Daily. I'm your host, Chris Hummer, and I hope everyone had a great holiday weekend. Today, we'll be joined by new TCU head coach, Sonny Dykes. I went to Fort Worth to speak with Coach Dykes in his office, so excuse slight audio issues. About his transition from SMU to TCU, his vision for what he's long called a top 15 program in college football, and what is shaping up to be a very interesting quarterback battle in Fort Worth. Here's Coach Dykes.
I don't know if you remember, but I sat in your office at SMU in 2018, and at the time, we were talking about TCU and what they had built, and you called TCU a top 15 job in college football at the time. How does it feel to be here now?
Well, I mean, I always had a lot of kind of respect and admiration for the way that they built this, you know, football program, and really the university in a lot of ways. You know, it was a gradual, slow process. I think the funny thing about people when it comes to successful programs, it's like there's always that debate, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Is it the investment in the program that happens and then the success happens, or is it the success that happens and then the investment? Most of the time, it's the success happens and then the investment happens. Well, here it kind of all worked at the same time. You know what I mean? They had when Coach Brancioni came here, they had some success and, you know, had that big Sun Bowl win, you know, against USC that I kind of think really in a lot of ways gave TCU some credibility that it needed. And then obviously, you know, when he moved on and Gary began the program and just the stability of it all. And then kind of the investment took place at that point. I think it's been fun to see. I mean, look, it's a Big 12 school that has top-down support, you know, from the chancellor on down, and it's in DFW. And so because of that, I mean, I just think there's just a great opportunity here. I've just always believed that. And so it's, you know, and there's a lot of people that really care about the program, and so there's, you know, you have resources here that you don't have some other places, and, you know, there's great fan support, and Fort Worth's such a great town to live in. So you just kind of sit down and you say, okay, what makes a great football program? You know, so much of it's just having access to players, and you certainly have that here.
I don't remember where I heard you say this, but it was recently. You talked about a reason why you wanted to be a high school coach originally. Coming out.
Yeah, I didn't want to move.
You didn't want to move, yeah. Is this the type of job where you don't think you'll ever have to move again?
Yeah, I mean, that's my hope. I think that was the thing. I mean, look, I really loved my time at SMU and loved living there. It's just such a great place to live and such a great university, and I had so much respect for, you know, for everybody over there. And we built something pretty cool and something that we felt like we could sustain. But at the same time, you know, I think I would have always kind of said, well, you know, maybe I should have done this or do that. And I think, you know, in your career, that's what you want to do, is you want to just have no regrets. And so, you know, the Big 12, I grew up around the Big 12 and the Southwest Conference, and it's just meant a lot to me personally to have a chance to coach in this league against, you know, against some of the best schools in the country and, you know, compete at the very highest level. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think I felt that way at SMU as well. You know, just, hey, look, this is a place where I could stay forever. But at the end of the day, this was just too good of an opportunity to pass up.
The two jobs are very different, SMU and TCU, conference, talent that you can acquire and everything else. But you created quite a successful blueprint, branding around Dallas there. I've seen some of it already, but how much of what y'all did there in terms of targeting the DFW area can you lift and have success with here?
You know, I think we think a lot, you know, because so much of having success is, you know, we talk about kind of the three pillars or the three, you know, critical elements that give you success in a football program. It's, you know, talent acquisition, whether it's coaches or players, being able to hire good people and keep them. And that was, again, one of the things that, you know, was tough about being in the American Conference was you got your coaches rated every year. You know what I mean? It was one of those things where it just was like every year, you know, half our coaching staff would have other job offers. It was just hard to hold on to really good people. And that became a little bit tedious with that. But, you know, talent acquisition, you know, being able to recruit players in that are, you know, local DFW kids. And so much of, you know, and kind of going back to what I was saying earlier, the three things are, you know, talent acquisition, player development, and then culture, you know, I think are the three most important things. And again, number one being talent acquisition and recruiting. So much about relationships. And what's great is, you know, we can get kids on our campus all the time because they're local. You know, they have to drive 20 minutes to come over and watch practice one morning, or, you know, 30 minutes, or, you know, down the street, whatever the case may be. You know, they can jump in their car and get around our program, get to know us as people and our players personally, and, you know, see what our culture is all about and see how they fit. And, you know, as the recruiting stuff cycles through, I mean, we're getting so many young kids through now, 24s, and starting to build relationships with those young kids. And so it's going to make a big difference in recruiting, I feel like. And again, I think our coaches do a good job of building those relationships with those players. And that's part of kind of who we are and what we're all about.
We'll hear more from TCU head coach Sonny Dykes right after this.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I would be doing a disservice to my industry if I didn't ask about quarterbacks for a second. How's the competition?
It's good. Yeah, it's good. You know, I think we've got, you know, four quarterbacks we feel good about. I think, you know, and they're all relatively young. I mean, Max has played a lot of football, but he's got 2 years of eligibility still because of, you know, 2020, having getting that year back. And Chandler's got 4 years of eligibility, you know, and then Sam Jackson's a really young, talented guy who's got 4 years, and Josh Hoover's got 4 years. So we've got guys that are young, and it's fun. I mean, it's fun to see those guys develop, and literally you can tell practice to practice, you know, you can see improvement, and you can tell that they're understanding things and making better decisions and executing at a higher level. And so, I mean, it's going to be a good competition. You know, I think that it's kind of unique. Again, Max has just played a lot of football, and he's got a great skill set. I mean, he's got a big arm. He's a really good runner. He's really tough. I had a ton of respect for him, you know, coaching against him, just the way he played and the way he competed. And so anyway, he's done a really good job. And then Chandler, you know, Chandler was kind of born to run this kind of offense. You know, he was just raised, you know, doing it at Highland Park and with, you know, and his dad coaching him and just kind of growing up around a lot of the same concepts that we run. And so, you know, he just looks like he's so comfortable and so natural doing it. Same thing, he's a really talented guy. And so anyway, I think it's a really good situation that we're in, better than probably I thought it was going to be, you know, and it's like anything else. I mean, there's going to be some adjustments as guys get settled in, but it should be a great competition, and I would expect it to go into fall camp. And, you know, you want to have, you know, two quarterbacks that you feel like you can win with at minimum. And I feel like that we've, you know, if Sam continues to improve the way that he has, and I'm hoping that we go into next season with three.
They've got a pretty nice weapon in Quentin Johnson. What's it been? You've seen him quite a bit the last couple of years.
Yeah.
What did you think inheriting him, and what do you think he can be?
Yeah, you know, I think the great thing about Quentin is, you know, he's been a very productive player. He's made a ton of big plays, and I still think there's a lot of room for improvement. You know, I think, you know, just continuing to become more and more consistent, you know, being a guy that the quarterback knows where he's going to be. You know, the funny thing about playing receiver position is it's interesting. People get caught up in so many different things, you know, size and speed and all these things. And really playing receiver is pretty simple. It's being in the right place at the right time, you know, and that's really what it is. And there's a lot of different ways to get there. Some guys get there with speed. Some guys get there with savvy, quickness, whatever. But, you know, you just want to have somebody that you can really count on. And, you know, when it's third and five, you want to be able to throw the ball to somebody. And Quentin needs to be that guy for us and can be that guy. You know, and it's like anything else. I mean, he's still got so much upside. He's just really, really talented. He's got a great work ethic, really a fantastic attitude. He's a really good leader. You know, he's a guy that's going to just get better and better and better. And I think as our system gets implemented and when spring ball wraps up, you know, the summer is going to be so important for us. Just the quarterbacks and receivers and those guys continuing to get on the same page and spending a lot of time, you know, throwing and catching balls over the summer. And, you know, that way when we pick back up in fall camp that, you know, everybody's further along than they are right now.
I feel like you get fired up about wide receiver play a little bit, right?
It's kind of my baby, I guess, in a lot of ways.
I think TCU for a long time have been known as being at the kind of the defensive forefront actually.
Yeah.
Slipped a little bit the last couple of years. What did you see in Joe Golubski? Bringing him in.
Well, we coached against him, you know, at Tulsa, obviously, and boy, those guys were a pain in the rear. A couple of things really stood out to me about Joe. I mean, I just felt like that every year they were very, very sound defensively, had answers for, you know, you'd go into the, to play those guys and you'd say, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then they would kind of able to stay one step ahead of everybody. You know, when you go look at some of the defensive performances they had against big time teams, I mean, you look at Oklahoma State year in, year out, they really shut those guys down. Ohio State, a lot of people that, you know, they played some really tough non-conference games and man, people just didn't move the ball on them, you know, and, he knows what he's doing. I didn't really know him personally. I kind of knew his reputation. He had a great reputation in the business. And, you know, when I had a chance to get to know him and spend some time with him, you know, I was sold on him very fast. I mean, he just is a West Texas guy. You know, grew up in Stephenville.
I was going to say, he's not very far away from home.
No. Grew up in Stephenville, and, you know, I think he's just the perfect guy. I think he feels the same way about TCU that I do. I think he sees this as a destination job, and it's, you know, it's close to home for him. And I think this place means a lot to him, you know, that way. And so, anyway, it was just a natural attraction. I was really glad to be able to get him because I think he's done an outstanding job. The other thing he did at Tulsa too is, you know, it's difficult to recruit there and they really recruited some good football players, projected a lot of guys.
What they did with DBs is super impressive.
It's really remarkable.
Like a 4 or 5 year period.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And they, you know, had all these, the Wind recruited all these long guys that were, played different positions and played them at DBs and really developed them. And so, you know, TCU's had a history of developing defensive players and, you know, we wanted to, you know, continue to that tradition.
How do you see TCU? Obviously, the Big 12 is going to shift sometimes.
Yeah. Whenever, yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be an interesting topic the next couple of years.
Yeah.
How do you see TCU fitting in the new look conference and what it could potentially be in the league?
Well, I mean, it kind of goes back to what we said earlier. You know, it's just got a lot of potential. You know, we've got a... It's like anything else. We got to continue to recruit and continue to develop and keep our people here and do all those things. But, you know, it ought to be a, like I said earlier, a destination job. And, you know, I think we can recruit, you know, some of the best college football players in the country here. I mean, I've always believed that and I know we can. And there's just so much to sell. And then at that point, you know, again, recruiting is such a big part of it. At that point, you know, we've got to develop them. And, you know, we feel like we've got systems to do that and the right coaches and, you know, the best strength and conditioning staff in college football. And so I think because of all that, then, you know, we're very well positioned, you know, to continue to have a lot of success in this league.
This is your fourth head coaching job.
Mm-hmm.
Most coaches don't even get close to that kind of opportunity.
Yeah.
And not that you haven't.
Yeah.
But you mentioned earlier this is a destination job. What have you kind of taken away from those first three jobs that you feel like you can apply here to make this situation what it can be at TCU?
Yeah. Well, you know, some of those, when you talk about some of those, a lot of those were kind of, rebuilding things. You know, when I took the job at La Tech, it was, you know, it was in pretty good shape, but it was really kind of a rebuild. You know, Cal was the same way. I mean, it was kind of a tear it down and rebuild it. And, you know, and it's funny, you know, Cal was, you know, at the time, it was really, really hard, but I look back at that and, you know, really proud of kind of the strides we made, you know, because we were so bad early and then, you know, continued to get better every year. And anyway, it was, you know, and then SMU, the thing you want to do is just make sure you get better. You know, this is a little bit different. I don't think this is a tear it down to the studs rebuild at all. You know, I think that, and again, especially with today's world and the transfer portal and all that stuff, I mean, you can get the ship righted pretty quickly. And again, it's not like this program hadn't had a ton of success. I mean, they've been unbelievable around here. I mean, Gary's record speaks for itself, you know, and the success he had. But it is, you know, it is challenging anytime you take over something new because there's so much that needs to be done. And, you know, there's relationships that have to occur and trust that has to happen between coaches and players. And, you know, there's just all these things that have to take place. And sometimes that takes time. And, you know, and guys have to learn, you know, new systems and new ways of doing things. And, but, you know, I've been really impressed how quickly we've kind of got up and running in terms of, you know, our strength and conditioning staff did an unbelievable job getting our guys ready for spring ball. The players have had a great attitude and work ethic and done everything we've asked them to do. And we're asking them to do things a lot different than they have in the past. And they hadn't fought us at all. And so that part's been good.
You were here before. Do you feel a different kind of energy around here?
You know, it's hard for me to say. When I was here in 2017, I mean, the program was just so good at that point. You know what I mean? And things were operating so smoothly, you know, that it was, you know, just kind of, you know, you kind of came in and everything just ran like clockwork in some ways. So there's a little bit of a different energy just because it's something that's new and something that's different. And, you know how it is. I mean, I think anytime you're the new coach, everybody wants to get on board and everybody wants to, you know, talk about how different things are or whatever. But yeah, I mean, look, I think our guys are energized just because it's new and it's a new opportunity for people. And like I said, I've been really pleased with what I've seen from them.
Thank you to Sonny Dykes and the TCU communications staff for allowing us to come by campus. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please leave us a 5-star review. I'll talk to y'all soon.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.